I was sitting in the back seat of my father's tan Chevy Impala when the police officer tapped on the window. My father calmly rolled down the window as the officer looked around and said, "You know this is a bad neighborhood, don't you?" This was not the first time my average-looking Caucasian family had gotten suspicious looks and spectacle comments in Pittsburgh Hill District, a rough neighborhood mainly populated by African-American families. My parents and I had brought ourselves to this neighborhood for one reason, to help a boy that needed us. Years later, this unforeseen relationship ended up having a lasting impact on him as well as me. When I was 4 years old, my parents became involved in Big Brothers Big Sisters of Greater Pittsburgh, a nonprofit organization that helps underprivileged at-risk youth. Upon entry into the program, my parents became matched with a 6-year-old African-American boy named Shaquille. At the time, Shaquille was living with his mother on public assistance. A year into our relationship, Shaquille's mother passed away after a battle against breast cancer, which complicated matters. Shaquille moved in with his aunt and uncle, who had more than a few children of their own. All of these events in Shaquille's life didn't make sense to 4-year-old me. At the time, all I knew was that our weekends revolved around Shaquille. He picked the activities, chose the restaurants, and decided the movies we watched. My parents laughed at all of his jokes, which were never particularly funny to me. As an only child, I was accustomed to having an excessive amount of attention placed on me, but during our weekend activities, every question was directed towards Shaquille. I got a little older, but no less jealous. My parents told Shaquille what a great job he did and how proud they were when he got a B on a school assignment or test. I would think, "Hello, I got another perfect spelling test. I think that makes it 10 weeks in a row. No special activity was planned for that." As I grew older, however, I was able to better understand our differences beyond the obvious appearances. I have always had my own bedroom. Shaquille has shared a cramped third-floor bedroom with no fewer than 5 different cousins over the years. A large shopping mall is exactly a 7-minute drive from our home. To this day, Shaquille has to take at least 2 buses to go shopping. I've whined about having lima beans for dinner. Weekday dinners were whatever Shaquille and his preteen sister could make. His mother died before her 41st birthday. His first cousin was murdered. He has experienced more in his 20 years of existence than most people will experience in their entire lives. He has never said, "Poor me," although in my opinion, he has every right to. A 12-year relationship that was meant to change the life of a young boy ended up drastically changing my outlook on life. Shaquille thought that we were just friends. What he doesn't know is how much he has influenced me. I will never forget our countless trips to the park, movie theater, and bowling alley. I will never forget how kind Shaquille was when I asked him to play with my Barbies, and I more than once. I especially won't forget the impact that he has had on my life. He is such a thoughtful and kind young man, despite all of the adversity that he has faced. It is amazing how someone who has seemingly everything can learn a lifetime of lessons from someone who appears to have nothing. Shaquille taught me to accept others who are different. Despite the curious glances, I continued to hold his hand as we crossed the street or visited the mall. He has taught me to take nothing for granted and to give back to others who aren't as fortunate. His life has influenced mine and given me perspective about what's meaningful, and it's not my current Facebook status. I picture myself sitting at the wheel of my silver Subaru Outback in that overgrown gravel lot in Pittsburgh's Hill District. I can see the police officer coming towards the car and feel a tightness in my chest. He taps on the window and I roll it down. Before he can say anything to me, I look into his eyes and say, "I know I'm safe here, officer. I'm just waiting for my big brother."